on the Beginner's Guide this week, then, how to be a trichologist. You might well ask the question, well, what is a trichologist? Let us find out more. Giovanni Dallelis joins us on the programme. Giovanni, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, James. How are you?
Very well, my friend. How's business?
Yes, we're doing okay. Thank you very much.
IpswichTrichology.co.uk. Let's get that out there straight away.
Yes. our website.
That will be where we're asking people to have a look. Trichology, then. For those who've saying to themselves right now, what is that? Tell us more, Giovanni.
Well, it's a complicated word, but what we basically do is we specialise in hair loss and scalp problems. So we deal with a wide variety of conditions, from the obvious hair loss to underlying scalp issues to not so obvious hair loss.
What sort of percentage of people have a problem with their scalp? It's not something you ever really often hear people talk about, is it?
No, I mean, hair loss is still obviously quite a taboo subject. It's not something you go usually down the pub and talk about openly. But there is a lot of people out there with underlying issues that don't necessarily get a lot of help until they find us. And that's what we try to do, is we try to pinpoint what the cause of the problem is. We do that for an initial consultation with the patient. And during this time, like I said, we attempt to make a diagnosis of what it is firstly, which then obviously opens up the treatment options available to them.
Am I right in thinking? Recently we spoke to an optometrist who says, well, you know, from looking at the eye, we can actually identify other problems in the body. Is that the same with the scalp? Is there other areas of the body that affect the scalp? And as a result of your profession, you can actually say there may be a problem elsewhere.
Very much so. Quite often, hair loss is one of the only symptoms that presents as a wide variety of other underlying conditions. Quite often, we'll get a patient come to us with perhaps a diffuse thinning, which is a generalised thinning of the hair on the scalp. We'll send them off for blood tests to perform some further studies, and they'll come back with perhaps an underlying thyroid problem, or perhaps iron deficiencies, or problems with the endocrine system. So quite often we do find that there is an underlying reason for the hair loss, and in a lot of cases, resolving that issue, that problem, or correcting the deficiency will result in the hair growth returning.
So how does it work? Do you get referrals from a GP, or do people literally have to look you up, come and see you, for them to say, well, there's a problem?
Well, we operate outside of the NHS, so we're a private facility, but
right,
we do get some referrals from GPs within the local area. GPs are starting to be aware of the service now. But a lot of people do find us inadvertently when they're just looking online for hair loss problems, and they come across our website. And we're part of the Institute of Trichologists as well. I'm a member of that.
Which, so by the way, is not a new thing. That's over 100 years old.
Yes, it is. So
yeah,
that's actually where I qualified. I studied with them. So we get a lot of referrals through them as well. And they're the regulatory body for trichologists in the UK. And that's where, like I said, we get a lot of the referrals from them, and they monitor us and make sure we're all doing the right thing as well.
We'll come on to loss of hair. As you might gather, I have a vested interest.
I do remember.
Trichology lends itself to the forensic profession quite well as also, doesn't it? Have you ever thought about looking at that area of trichology?
I've personally never got into it. I do have a few trichology colleagues in other parts of the country who do a little bit of that. But I personally operate just as a clinical trichologist, so we just see patients day to day. There's a lot of areas that trichologists do get into. We regularly get asked as a profession to provide reports for hairdressing problems, for perhaps a colour that someone's purchased from a supermarket or a shop that's resulted in a problem. So we get asked to prepare legal reports for that to help in those sorts of cases. But like I said, I myself, at the moment, I'm just practising as a clinical trichologist. But there is lots of interesting uses of the subject.
We don't tend to take a great deal of notice, I suppose, in the main, of our hair and our scalps. I mean, the most any of us do is wash it occasionally, put a brush through it.
Yes.
Do we lack care in our scalps?
Overall, I don't think so. I don't think we lack care in the scalp. I think in most cases, hair growth, thankfully, is normal and healthy. But obviously, it's something that you become very aware of once you start perhaps thinning, or if you've got an underlying scalp problem that's causing you itchiness and swollen scalp and inflammation. They're all symptoms that are very hard to ignore on a daily basis.
Mm.
And as soon as you become aware of those, unfortunately, there's not a lot of even doctors and GPs that necessarily specialise in that particular form of problem. And to be quite honest, a lot of the lotions and treatments that you can get from there can be very hard to apply and very awkward to use. So we tried to come up with solutions that are a bit easier to apply to, therefore make the treatment easier,
but
more effective.
Hair and scalp does have, if you like, a gradient of health. You can have poor hair health, can't you?
Yes, you can. I mean, unfortunately, it's like all factors.
Mm.
Unfortunately, some people are genetically prone to poor hair growth, to poor scalp conditions, and in those cases, it can be very difficult to help. But I think overall, as long as your daily hair routine is nothing too exaggerated, I mean, avoid, particularly on the ladies' side, avoid excessive colouring, avoid excessive heat, such as straighteners and very hot hair dryers.
Oh, don't say avoid straighteners around here.
Yes, that is a big problem. We do see a lot of young girls coming in with, unfortunately, heat damage as a result of over-straightening.
Oh,
and
wow.
Overusing hot hair dryers, and it does eventually lead to breakage of the hair if it's not done properly. And in those cases, unfortunately, there's not a lot we can actually do with the damage other than recommend to stop your using the hair dryer in question or the straightener in question.
Not hugely in fashion, perms these days, but that again was frowned upon, wasn't it? Because after a time, and the same with bleaching, that was damaging hair as well.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, the products have got better, but unfortunately, there's no such thing as a safe chemical treatment for the hair, not entirely. Even today's best coloured products will cause some breakage, but if they're used properly and done professionally, then that is usually controlled and kept to a minimal level.
Our beginner's guide this week, how to be a trichologist. We'll get back to Giovanni in just a moment and find out exactly how you can get into that profession.